Psalm 142. It says this from the NASB. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou didst know my path in the way where I walk. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to thy name. The righteous will surround me, for thou wilt deal bountifully with me. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example that King David shows us, Lord, in the Psalms. And Lord, we pray, God, that we would our lives would align to what you have in store for us, Lord. And so, Father, we give you this morning, we dedicate this time, and we honor you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I enjoy meditating on the Psalms from time to time because it gives us an example of sort of the boundaries that we can have in terms of our emotions and what we feel. A lot of times, I think, as our parents raise us, they set boundaries on what we're supposed to feel. And here in verse 2, he pours out his complaints to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, my parents, you know, taught me not to complain. And so those were boundaries put on me that, you know, don't whine, don't cry, don't complain, these things. And so, but if we look at the Word of God and we look at the example of Psalms and David, it gives us an example of what the boundaries what are allowed in terms of how we're able to feel, what we can do. And so the background of the Psalm, some of you may know, is that King David is he had the David and Goliath story. He became, very popular in the land. And so King Saul became very jealous, and now he's out to kill him, and they're actually on a chase. And so David now is running away, trying to find a refuge, trying to escape from being killed. And so he comes into this cave. He comes into this cave, and you can imagine this journey, you know, running away, finding a place to be safe, and now he's in this cave. And if you've ever spent any time in caves, they're not the very emotionally warmest place to be. It's a covering, it's cold, it's rock, things like this. And now you can imagine David has no idea, when can I come out? When will it be safe? You know, will Saul and his men, you know, find me? And so he's just in a waiting period. He's just sitting there in a cave, fearful, scared out of his mind, and so here he is, and now he's spending time with the Lord. And in verse 1, he cries out loud, with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaints before him, and I declare my trouble before him. As I mentioned before, maybe for many of us, we were taught and brought up to not complain. Stop your whining. Stop your complaining. And in social settings, that is most appropriate. In terms of relationships with others, that's probably the most important. You don't want to hang out with somebody who complains all the time. But fortunately, there is one that you can go to, because we all have complaints. We all have something that we want to voice to somebody. I mean, this is where gossip starts, and this is why it's very rampant amongst people. But we have complaints, and we want to voice it to somebody. And so maybe we'll go to a friend and we'll complain about our boss, or we'll go to a friend and complain about another person, or because this is natural. Yet, unfortunately, our society and our upbringing tells us that we can't tell anybody about our complaints. But David knew that there was one that we can just pour out our heart to. And he goes to the Lord and he pours out his complaints and he declares his trouble before him. And I wonder, in our own sort of prayer life, is that something that we do, or is that something that we've done? Well, I'm here to tell you that's allowable. The Lord wants you to come before him and to complain, you know, about everything. Maybe you feel awkward doing that. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I should be a good little Christian, and I should just, you know, just overcome it and do my best to deal with it and things like that. Well, I think step one in dealing with that is to voice your complaint before the Lord, to voice your trouble before him. In verse 3, it says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. That word overwhelmed can be literally translated as clothed. And in this situation, maybe clothed in darkness. And so he's feeling just overwhelmed, just clothed in darkness, where he can't see any hope. He can't see the light. He can't see any future. He can't see because he's overwhelmed, clothed within me. Back in the early 80s, they did a sort of study with those who are suffering from depression. And they noticed during the winter months that because there was less light during the day, that people would get depressed because of this lack of light. And so they did some experiments, and one of the scientists figured, well, since it's always dark during this winter season, maybe we could try to give these patients more light. And so they would prescribe them to get these light boxes. And so during their depression, they would ask these patients to sit in front of this light box. That's, I guess it's a fluorescent light or something like that, some sort of light, and just have more light in your life. And now we know that it's called seasonal affective disorder, SAD. Which is an interesting term because, you know, they're depressed and they're sad. So you have SAD. Yeah, I know I'm sad. No, you have SAD, seasonal affective disorder. But the prescription is, if you have sadness or you're under depression during these winter months, then maybe you should have a little bit more light. Maybe you should have more light. And I think of sort of in our spirit, maybe you're overwhelmed and filled with darkness, and maybe your spirit is depressed, or maybe you're struggling with some things. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe the prescription for you is that you need more light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Maybe what we need in order to overcome sort of that overwhelmed feeling or darkness is simply more light. We need more light. My spirit is overwhelmed. But then he says, you know my path. In the way where I walk, you know my path. In the midst of all of this, David has the understanding that out of my darkness, over my being overwhelmed, oh Lord, you know my path. You are the one that knows in which way to go. You are the one that knows what I should do. You are the one. And so this insight that David has is something that we need to understand and learn. Look, your circumstances are overwhelming. Your situation is difficult. There are problems, and you're drowning in this ocean of pain and struggle. Are we able to recognize, oh, but you, Lord, know. You are the one that knows my path. And then he continues, verse 4, look to the right and see there's no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. This has to be probably one of the saddest human verses in Scripture, where in David's time of need, his greatest time of need, his greatest fear, his greatest time of being overwhelmed, he looks to the right and see that there is no one who regards me, no one who cares for me, no one who's concerned, no one who even gives a rip about my situation. Have you ever been in that situation where you're in a very tight, bad situation, and you're looking through your phone and is like, who could I call to bail me out? Is there anyone in my contacts list that I can call? And you go through the whole list, A through Z, and you realize there's absolutely no one I can call. There's no one I can call to get me through this. There's no one I can call to bail me. There's no one that I can call to help me out. There is absolutely no one. This is how David is feeling right now. There is no one who has regards for me. Now, this could be real or perception in terms of the reality of the situation. Of course, there's probably many people that you can call. But the perception of his heart and the perception that we have many times is, I'm going through the whole list, literally one by one, and there's absolutely no one that I can call. And this is what David is going through. And then he says, there's no escape. No one cares for my soul. He's saying, look, I've gone through my contacts list, and there's no one who even cares. I don't even feel like telling this person or anybody because what's the use? No one is going to care about it. And that has to be sort of the worst human feeling to be going through that. You're going through bankruptcy. You're going through a loss. You're going through a broken relationship. You know, your greatest pain, your greatest fear, and no one cares. No one is concerned. No one stretches out a hand. No one reaches out a hand. That's got to be the worst human feeling ever. And so as a sidebar in terms of the way of community as we're talking about, what can change a life? What can change the world? What can change a community? Is that we prevent anyone in our community from feeling this way. You know, you look at people, and the greatest thing you can do to change a life is probably when someone's going through a time like this to reach out a hand so that they don't say, wow, no one cares. No one has any regard. There's no one who has regard. No one cares for my soul. And so you can see the depth of David's sort of emotional pain. And then so in verse 5, he says, I cry out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. A better translation of my portion in the land of the living is, you're all that I want and you're all that I need. But in verse 5, so he goes through this whole ordeal. You know, I picture sort of this this boiling pot of water where it's covered, and he's going through this, and all of a sudden there's no way out, and this it has to come out. The steam has to come out, and so he begins to cry out to the Lord. He voices his complaints. He declares that he's overwhelmed. No one cares about me. No one has any regard. There's no one who can help. And then in verse 5, he begins to pray, listen, he begins to pray what he knows and not what he feels. He goes into a transition of praying what he knows instead of what he feels. And what he knows is that God is my refuge. What he knows is God is my strength. What he knows is God is my Savior. What he knows is God is my shepherd. I don't feel that now, but what I know is that God is my refuge. My world around me is falling apart, but what I know is that his grace is sufficient. I'm struggling in this current situation. I'm in a tight bind. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, but what I know is that God is full of mercy. That God, out of the abundance of his riches, is able to do even more than we can imagine, we can ask or imagine. This is what David knows. This is what he knows. He knows that God loves him unconditionally. He knows that God is there for him. He knows that God is listening. Unfortunately, for many of us, our faith and our prayers are dictated just only on what we feel, and that is fine. Go before the Lord and express your heart. Express even the depths of your soul. But what we see in David's life is he transitions from praying only praying what he feels, and he transitions to praying, but Lord, this is what I know. I know that you are my refuge. You are my portion. You are all that I need. So verse 6, give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. And David believes there's this confidence that I can go to you, God, because you deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that maybe your colleagues are too strong for you? Have you ever felt like, you know, maybe your parents are too strong for you? Have you ever felt like your friends are too strong for you? Have you ever felt like this situation is too strong for you? He's saying, deliver me. And in verse 7, here's where he finishes with encouragement. Bring my soul out of prison. I personally haven't been incarcerated or in jail or prison, but some of the stories that I hear, it is the worst days of people's lives. It is the most lonely place to be. It is where you're covered in regret, you're covered in guilt, you're covered in shame, you're covered in all these things. And he's saying, Lord, bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. And he says in confidence, the righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountiful with me. In other words, God will pour out his grace upon me. And so he has confidence. God, I can come to you because, God, I want you to bring my soul out of prison because I want to give thanks to your name. I know that you are good, and I'm going to give thanks to your name, and I know that the righteous will surround me. And so for our devotional this morning, I just enjoy going over the Psalms, and even without any exposition or any explanation or any sort of sermon or devotion on this, I think just meditating on it and having Psalm 142 just begin to permeate our spirit brings healing to our bones and bring strength to our spirit, knowing that David and others have gone through a similar situation. This is as real as David gets. And it sort of validates sort of how we feel in our lives. But I guess the truth of this psalm that I want to sort of encourage us this morning is pour out your heart before the Lord, but then begin to pray and seek the truth. Pray what you know. And pray on the character of God. And pray that he is our deliverer, that he is our strength, that his arm is not too short to save, that he is mighty to save. And we can go back on his faithfulness in our lives as we look back in the history of our lives, and we can see his faithfulness. And this is the type of God that David is praying through. There's this comfort level in his relationship with the Lord. There's this ease and comfort and familiarity that David has with God. God, you know, this sucks. I just want to die. I just want to be gone. Oh, but Lord, I know that you are my deliverer. So let's bow our heads and let's meditate on this morning. For me, this psalm shows that any time we're in trouble, we can go to the Lord. We can go to the Lord for deliverance and guidance and strength. And my hope and encouragement to us this morning is that you could see that there is light. And maybe this morning you need more light in your life. You need more of Jesus. And so we come here and seek his face, and we seek Jesus, and we seek the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this psalm. Thank you, Lord, for King David, that when his life was at stake, you delivered him. Lord, we thank you that we know the end of the story. That despite this situation in his life, you elevated him to be king. That the story ends and continues well. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness and we thank you for your love. And Father, we just ask for your spirit to be with us today. God, you are a refuge. You are a portion. Would you give heed to our cries today? For we are brought low, and we ask you to deliver us from our persecutors.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate. As frosty as it.
We have many people that we pray for every day that may be going through this because of their cancer and their sickness, that maybe they feel the way that David did. And so what we want to do is we want to intercede and we want to pray for them. Let's ask the Lord to heal them. Let's pray for those with cancer. And let's ask the Lord to be with them, to comfort them, to strengthen them, to shine a light on their lives. And let's ask for healing. And so let's lift up our community struggling with cancer and treatment and transplant. So let's pray for them right now. Let's lift up those who are sick, but also don't know the Lord yet as a personal Savior. And so let's lift them up and ask the Lord to heal them, and that He would make Himself known, that their eyes would be open and unveiled to the love of Christ. And so let's lift them up right now. Pray for others that are sick, and some of these people have been on the list for a long time. And if you could just maybe add one more person to that list, and that's for Pastor Carol, for my wife. She's in the hospital indefinitely due to complications from a miscarriage, and the greatest concern is hemorrhaging and bleeding, and so it could be potentially very dangerous and life-threatening even. So if you could just lift her up in prayer, that best case scenario would happen. And so just if you could lift her up, I would appreciate that. Thanks. Let's lift up those who are looking for employment and jobs, and let's ask the Lord to sustain them and provide for them. And so let's ask the Lord to open up interviews for them and to place them where they need to be. And so let's lift them up right now. Pray for our mission focus for this morning, and let's lift up our China for SP Beijing and Pastor Sam and Annie, and they're experiencing tremendous growth, and now they have new challenges of with governments and things like that. So let's lift them up in prayer that God would make himself known, and as they begin to explode in growth. Let's pray for the Chong family. They're on sabbatical and trying to figure out the next steps that the Lord would have them serve. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents who are serving, for the Basarabas, Leanne, who's in Beijing, for Edie Clark, Chichi Har Kids, the orphanage there, and for the churches. So let's lift up China and ask the Lord to make himself known there. And let's pray for all the servants there. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for our staff, for Pastor Sam, who's on sabbatical. Ask the Lord to give him vision and give him just a strong refreshing and renewal. Let's pray for myself, for Pastor Carol, Pastor Sophia, Pastor Nate, Ken, Monica, Bonnie, Sarah, Janella, and Pastor Hyunsu. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for our worship team and our AV team. Let's ask the Lord to use them, to give them wisdom and knowledge, and that they would see what they do is valuable, important, in serving the kingdom of God. And so let's pray over them. Let's pray for our worship teams. Finally, our Cambodia worship team is going out today, this morning, I believe 8 o'clock or so. And so let's pray for them. Let's pray for their travel. Let's ask the Lord to anoint them. You know, many of them are not professional musicians or worship leaders, yet they're serving this nation and trying to equip Cambodians to worship God and through music and through his presence. So let's pray for our Cambo worship team. Mission team that's going out this morning. Let's pray for them. Lord, we cry out to you and we voice our complaints and we declare that our trouble goes before us. And Lord, our spirit is overwhelmed at times, but you know our paths. You know where we should walk. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would be our refuge, that you would be our portion, that you would be all that we need, that you would be enough. And so, God, deliver us so that we may give thanks in your name. And we know that the righteous will surround us and that you will deal with us bountifully. And so, Lord, we just dedicate this morning to you. Lord, we just ask that you'd hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful morning. May the Lord's favor go with you. And enjoy your time in prayer this morning.